Don't lose sight of the fact that finally we're seeing a synchronized recovery. Europe is growing, Asia is growing. One of the reasons why American corporations are profitable is because of profits that they're earning abroad. So I think the world economy is in a stronger position now for the Fed to start to unwind their extraordinary monetary policy. Even when the Fed unwinds, even if they raise rates in December or early next year, it's still going to be very accommodative monetary policy around the world.
In recent years, the United Nations has not reached its full potential because of bureaucracy and mismanagement. While the United Nations on a regular budget has increased by 140% and its staff has more than doubled since 2000, we are not seeing the results in line with this investment.
Legendary music magazine Rolling Stone is looking to sell. Founded by Jan Wenner in 1967, the magazine was an essential read for the countercultural rock scene and is still the top brand in music publishing. But its parent company, Wenner Media, recently sold its two other magazines, Us Weekly and Men's Journal, highlighting the struggles of the industry as advertising revenues fall in an increasingly competitive online age.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is The Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Today is Tuesday. It's September 19th, 2017. It's 5:11 in the morning. Glad you're here with us for another edition of The Opening Bell and another business day underway. Lots to cover this morning in the program. A little bit later on, we'll be discussing the fight against smoking and how the focus has turned to college campuses across the country. In just a minute, we'll talk a little bit about the U.S. News and World Report's latest ranking of the best colleges. We'll tell you where some of the Chicago schools ranked and why they are there. All coming up, but first on the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Futures are pointing toward another positive open on Wall Street later. Dow futures are up 23 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are up single digits this morning. Meanwhile, around the globe, a mixed story with markets in Asia generally mixed this morning as investors await comments from the Federal Reserve. They begin a two-day meeting today here in the U.S., not likely to change interest rates, but they will be talking about monetary policy and unloading some of that balance sheet. Yesterday on Wall Street, the S&P 500 rose. The Dow gained about 63 points. Both indices closed at new record highs. Back to Asia this morning, the Nikkei up about 389 points. The Hang Seng is off about 100 points. That's good for about a third. And the Shanghai is off just a fraction. Markets are mixed in Europe as well, with the FTSE in London higher by a quarter. The DAX is lower. The CAC is higher. Oil is trading at $50.32 a barrel, which is up about 1% this morning. Some news that has happened since you probably went to bed last night. The toy company Toys R Us has filed for bankruptcy, as expected. The report this morning says that the toy company filed for bankruptcy late yesterday, apparently. A dozen-plus major retailers have filed for creditor protection this year, including Payless, Gymboree, Perfumia Holdings, all of which are in the Chapter 11 process right now. Toys R Us was the once dominant specialty retailer, one of the biggest toy companies and toy sellers in the country. The in Wisconsin yesterday, the governor has signed the new Foxconn bill, and House Speaker Paul Ryan says he's very excited about the $3 billion tax incentive for Foxconn to build in southeast Wisconsin their new plant. Ryan was asked about the deal following his tour yesterday of the Harley-Davidson plant in Menominee Falls. Ryan says Foxconn will bring a whole new sector to the Wisconsin economy with high-paying jobs. Also this morning, the federal government has fined two groups. It says illegally attempted to collect student loan debt. It also says the groups are prohibited from further action on recovering payments until audits on all accounts are complete. The Consumer Financial Protection Bureau says the National Collegiate Student Loan Trusts, which owns more than 800,000 student loans, and their debt creditor, Trans World Systems, sued borrowers for student loans they couldn't prove were owed and filed false and misleading affidavits in court across the country. And there's news on the Equifax front this morning. New York Attorney General Eric Schneiderman is pressing TransUnion and Experian to explain what cybersecurity they have in place to protect sensitive consumer information following a recent breach at Equifax. that exposed data to of 143 million Americans to hackers. In letters to executives of the two credit monitoring companies, the Attorney General asked them to describe their existing security systems as well as what changes they've made since the cyber attack involving Equifax. The U.S. News and World Report of best colleges in the country is out, and it includes one of the big Chicago schools at the very top of the list. We want to go through the list this morning with Delise Smith-Barrow, higher education reporter at U.S. News and World Report, who joins us this morning. Delise, good morning. Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for having me.
Where everybody always looks forward to this list every year, and we have a big-time Chicago school right there at the top. Tell us about it.
We do. University of Chicago is number three among national universities. So, you know, pretty high up there. It's consistently been a top-ranked school, and it's labeled as a national university because it offers a wide range of bachelor's, master's, and doctoral programs.
Number one on the list is Princeton. Number two is Harvard. So that's pretty good company for University of Chicago.
Most definitely.
Give us a sense of how this ranking happens. How do you decide who's number one, two, three, or 50?
So U.S. News and our rankings, we're really measuring academic quality, and we have 15 indicators of academic quality, and we use those indicators to essentially score each school. But the bulk of each school's score is based on how students are, how they're doing in terms of passing through school, graduating. So it's graduation and retention rate. So that's 30% of your score alone. But then we're also looking at things such as resources. We have peers within the academic community also give their opinions on how different schools are doing. We weigh the opinion of guidance counselors from high schools in terms of, you know, saying, how is this school, how is that school? So 30% is graduation and retention rates, and then, you know, there are a few other indicators as well.
And how important to college life and to academic life are these rankings, not only for students but for the schools as well?
These rankings are important in the sense that, you know, going to college is one of the biggest and most costly investment that most families make, most students make. So if, you know, if what's most important to you is academic quality, then you should start with these rankings, because this is really focusing on where will you get the best education? What's the best academic fit for you as a student? So that's how schools should perceive this, as, you know, a great starting point for students and families to kind of make a list of, here are the places that fit me best academically. And after that, it, you know, it's up to the student and the family to kind of dig a little deeper, maybe physically visit the schools, but these are a great starting point.
Delise, hang on with us. We're going to continue with Delise Smith-Barrow, higher education reporter at U.S. News and World Report, on with us this morning talking about the newest, best college ranking list. We'll go through some of the rankings of some of the other schools in Illinois, talk more about the importance of this list as the opening bell continues.
From ABC News, Wall Street Now. New record highs have been posted for the Dow Jones and the Standard & Poor's 500. The Dow closing up 63 points yesterday at 22,331. The S&P rising 3.5. The NASDAQ advanced 6.25 points, close to a record of its own. Investors will keep an eye on the Federal Reserve's two-day meeting today. Forecasters expect the Fed to leave interest rates unchanged, with an eye toward boosting them in December. The latest brick-and-mortar retailer to buckle under the pressure of the online universe is Toys R Us, which has filed for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. The New Jersey-based company with 1,600 stores and 64,000 employees hopes to restructure its debt ahead of the crucial holiday season. Another week, another storm, and more vacations potentially ruined. Two big cruise lines, Carnival and Royal Caribbean, confirmed they are adjusting their itineraries to steer clear of Hurricane Maria, which is spinning toward Puerto Rico. Norwegian has not altered schedules, but confirms it's watching the storm. Jim Ryan, ABC News.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. The U.S. News and World Report Best College Ranking List is out. Delise Smith-Barrow is a higher education reporter at U.S. News and World Report, and she's with us this morning to talk a little bit about this. Delise, a couple of other schools I want to just mention here before we continue. University of Notre Dame comes in at 18, University of Wisconsin at 46, the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign at 52, Illinois Institute of Technology 103, Loyola at 103, a tie, and DePaul University also tied at 120. I'm curious because, you know, in Illinois, we've had this has been a rough couple of years for schools. And I know some of the other state schools like SIU and some of those are further down on the list. How important was their financial problems because of state budget issues tied to their rankings or not?
I actually don't know a whole lot about how much the budget impacted anyone's rankings, so that I am unsure of. But I will say that we do include financial resources. That is one of the indicators for the rankings. So that's about, you know, that's just maybe 10% of the school's overall score. So we'd have to dig a little deeper to see if, you know, something significant changed to really impact that 10%. But most of your score is really on, you know, student outcome in terms of, you know, retention, graduation rate, things of that nature.
Just as we look at the national list, who obviously you have the top candidates up there at the very top of the list, but what are they doing right in terms of student education?
I mean, a few things. So, one, they may be doing really well in terms of faculty resources, and we know that, you know, faculty are a big part of the institution. So if faculties have enough resources, then they may also be able to, you know, teach better or provide better examples of hands-on learning in the classroom, things of that nature. So usually top schools are doing quite well in that area. They're doing well in financial resources in terms of how much they can spend on dorms, food services, sports, just everything that will impact the college experience and help students to, you know, maybe focus on their academics more if these other things are taken care of. And in terms of another thing in terms of academic resources, they are, you know, the rankings do weigh student excellence. So things like SAT, ACT scores, things of that nature. So really, you know, are they selecting students that have had a track record of, you know, performing very well? So in terms of academics, it's pretty broad in terms of how they're catering to students and how they're supporting them through their college enrollment.
I would imagine that schools that score really well on this list, this is beyond a bragging point for them. I would imagine this helps in all kinds of efforts to not only improve education for students, but also raise endowments and donations to schools. Do you find that that's the case?
I haven't actually looked into that specifically, so I'm not equipped to really weigh in. But what I can tell you is that alumni giving, that is part of, you know, that's something that is looked at as well when deciding on, you know, who ranks where. So we do look at that. That's about 5% of what goes into each school's, you know, ranking and score.
So now that this list is out, does your work begin for next year already?
Oh, no, the work is still going on for this year. We have tons and tons and tons of content that we are putting out for, you know, under our college umbrella. For the first time, U.S. News is offering post-graduation salary information for 1,000 schools through PayScale. So, you know, we're trying to give students and families even more information beyond the rankings in terms of here are other things to consider, here are other things to know about institutions and the admissions process, whether you do regular decision, early decision, things of that nature.
Delise, very good of you to be with us. We're going to link out to all this information. People can find more at usnews.com. And again, we appreciate you being up with us this morning on the Opening Bell.
Thanks a lot, Steve.
Delise Smith, the Bureau, is higher education reporter at U.S. News and World Report. And we're going to link out to the full list and all of the information about the best colleges. You can find them, though, at usnews.com/bestcolleges. / rankings / national universities. But I bet if you went to the best colleges part, you'd get there right on track.
Now, WGN Radio's daily conversation about the life of business and the business of life. This is the Opening Bell with Steve Grzanich on 720 WGN.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to the program. Glad you're with us here at 540 on the Tuesday edition of the Opening Bell. The Truth Initiative, along with CVS Health Foundation, have joined forces to work with students and administrators at historically black colleges and universities and other minority-serving academic institutions to fight what is seen to be an encroachment on their campuses in the tobacco war that has, for the most part, been won generally in the population. Cianti Stewart-Reed is the Vice President of Campaigns and Community Youth Engagement at Truth Initiative and with us this morning here on The Opening Bell. Cianti, first, welcome to The Opening Bell. Good morning.
Good morning.
Tell us a little bit about first the Truth Initiative and what the program's about.
Sure. Truth Initiative is home to one of the largest public education campaigns. We work to get youth and young adults to reject tobacco. We inspire them to use their creativity and personal style to fight big tobacco and be the first generation to end smoking for good.
Am I wrong in the intro to you this morning in saying that generally in the population you've been pretty successful? And I know at least one of your ads, I think, says let's be the generation that stops this. So it's that close, isn't it?
It is very close. We've had great success in the last 17 years that Truth Initiative has been in existence. When we started, the youth smoking rate was at 23%, and today we're happy to say it's at 6%. That's incredible progress. But underneath that 6% number, there are disparities, including minority populations, mental health, individuals with mental health illnesses, the LGBTQ community, who are all being disproportionately impacted by tobacco, which is why we're working with colleges to make sure they can go tobacco free.
Let's talk a little bit about that. Is it that the companies or tobacco companies have started heavy marketing in those areas, or has the Truth Initiative, have there, the anti-smoking campaigns not been successful enough in those areas?
Well, what we know, Steve, is that 99% of regular smokers will start before the age of 26. And so if you're going to get youth to reject tobacco, you have to go where they are. And for many folks, that's on college campuses, which is why we're working with CVS Health Foundation to get historically black colleges, minority-serving institutions, and community colleges to go tobacco-free.
So what does that look like? What kinds of things are you doing, and what are your goalposts?
Sure. So we are announcing the availability of grants to historically black colleges, other minority-serving institutions, and community colleges. They can be found at truthinitiative.org. And with those grants, we provide technical assistance, one-on-one support. We work with students on the campus to get them all working toward advocating for and adopting a policy to go tobacco-free.
And so we'll see those probably pop up on campuses in programs and campaigns and that sort of thing, media campaigns, or will these be like grassroots things that happen on those campuses involving individuals?
Well, for the last several years, Truth Initiative and CVS Health have been working on college campuses already around the country. So we do a lot of this work one-on-one, and so you will see people will see lots of localized campaign efforts, grassroots efforts, and also supported by the work that we're doing in our ad campaigns. Just recently at the VMAs, we launched ads about the disproportionate impact of tobacco on people with mental health illnesses, and individuals in the military. And so we continue to have those conversations on campus with students and with administrators. So it's really a full wraparound project.
What does the marketing from Big Tobacco look like when it's aimed at those historically black colleges and universities?
Well, historically, we've seen in African-American neighborhoods 10 times the number of cigarette ads than in other neighborhoods. In low-income neighborhoods, we see more tobacco ads than in communities that are not low-income. And so we know that that is not a coincidence. It's profiling, and we work with our colleges and universities to call that out.
I would imagine this has to be a daunting effort on the part of organizations like yours. There's a lot of money we've seen through history. There's a lot of money behind Big Tobacco. Talk to me about the challenges of overcoming that.
Sure. Well, we have been working, like I said, for 17 years at Truth Initiative to work with youth to reject tobacco. The tobacco industry spends approximately $9.1 billion in marketing every year in the U.S., and so it's why it's so critical that we are talking to young people where they are, getting them the truth about big tobacco so they can make their own informed decisions.
And having a partner like CVS Health must also be important. I guess the way to fight big bucks is to have big bucks on your side too, right?
Well, our partnership with CVS Health Foundation has been incredible. We are working on 46 historically black colleges and universities and 89 community colleges. And through our work, we know that we've impacted 540,000 students and over 43,000 faculty and staff. So we are making a big difference and we're saving lives.
So, Sianti, how can people find more information specifically about this initiative, and where can they go to learn more about this?
Absolutely. So you can find more about our work at truthinitiative.org. Again, that's truthinitiative.org, and you will find all the information about the grant and how to apply. It is open through October 11th, and so we look forward to working with even more schools to get them to go tobacco-free.
Well, Sianti, we appreciate you joining us this morning here in the opening bell, and really congratulations on that 6% figure. Who would have thought we would be that low? And let's get to 100%, 0%, I guess, is the best thing. Appreciate your time this morning.
Thanks so much, Steve.
All right, Sianti, it's Stuart Reed is the Vice President of Campaigns, Community Youth Engagement at Truth Initiative. Again, truthinitiative.org is where you can find more information.
You're listening to The Opening Bell on 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome back to the program. 552 as we check the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk this morning. Dow futures pointing toward opening gains on Wall Street, up about 16 points. NASDAQ and S&P futures are pointing up as well. Let's get the latest now on commodities and agriculture. Good morning, Orion Samuelson.
Good morning, Steve. Well, before we check the weekly crop conditions, a report from our downstate Illinois reporter yesterday saying, I drove by Weaver Popcorn at Forest City and noticed quite a few trucks dumping. Must mean harvest of the popcorn crop has started, and popcorn needs to be at 13% moisture at harvest to make sure it will pop. Now, let's look at the soybean condition. Both soybeans and corn in the weekly crop conditions, the same number, 61% rated good to excellent. Number of the soybean acres harvested, 4%. That's about on par with the five-year average. But the corn crop is running about 10% behind average in corn that's harvested and in corn that is maturing. The Ohio Farm Science Review in London, Ohio, just west of Columbus, opens today for a three-day run. It will continue through Thursday of this week. Meanwhile, keep in mind that we're observing National Farm Safety and Health Week this week. It's been going on since back in the 1960s to call attention to adults and kids about the dangers on farms and ranches across the country. For example, grain bin entrapment is one of the real concerns on farms these days. It only takes 4 seconds for an adult to sink knee-deep in flowing grain, and at this point, the worker can't free themselves without help. Most engulfed victims don't survive. The slogan is, never work alone in a grain bin or a manure lagoon. Be safe, be well. I'm Orion Samuelson. Have a great day.
Thanks, Orion. You as well. A couple of other stories we're watching for you this morning. Republicans trying to find the $1 trillion to finance sweeping tax cuts are homing in on two popular deductions that I bet you probably take advantage of. One is the mortgage interest deduction. Millions of taxpayers enjoy this. 30 million Americans, as a matter of fact. It is the most recent IRS tally says 44 million people also take the deduction for state and local taxes. That's one of the other things that the lawmakers are looking at. Back to the mortgage interest deduction, the National Realtors Association, Home Builders Association, both argue that is key to home ownership in the United States. It's a catalyst, they say, to home ownership in the United States. Republicans are determined to overhaul the tax code after more than three decades, delivering on a top legislative priority for President Trump. But whether or not this moves forward is anyone's guess. Both of those have very strong support. And speaking of Republicans in Washington, the Senate Republicans say their last-ditch push to uproot President Obama's health care law is actually gaining momentum. GOP has less than 2 weeks to succeed, though, and it still faces a tough fight to win enough rank-and-file support to overcome Democratic opposition and reverse the summer's self-inflicted defeat on the issue. Republicans command the Senate 52-48. Would lose if just three senators are opposed already. One of them has said he won't vote for this. Rand Paul, Will Murkowski, and also one of the other Republican women who was voted against this. Will they vote no? Hard to say yet. But Mitch McConnell, majority leader, says that he will bring the vote to the floor if he knows he's going to get those 50 votes. So that's worth watching. Also this morning, I want to say thank you to the Dare Mighty Things folks. They've released their 37 media people shaping the future of Chicago, and they've found it kind enough to include me in there. I'm very proud to be in there with Scott Catoon and Amy Guth from our radio family here at WGN. You can find more at daremightythings.co. Also, the big conference is coming up, the Dare Mighty Things conference, tech conference on November 3rd. We'll be telling you more about that in the days and weeks ahead. Now the WGN Associated Bank Market Desk Outlook for this Tuesday. It's September 19th. The Federal Reserve starts its two-day meeting today. No interest rate hike, but they will talk about monetary policy, unwinding that balance sheet. The two-day meeting again starts today, ends tomorrow. In reports due out today, the Commerce Department releasing its analysis of housing starts for August, and will at the same time release the current account trade deficit for the second quarter from April through June. Some of the things that could move the markets on this Tuesday, September 19th.